This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Hey, Raymond, how come you weren't on the Zoom this morning?
I had a fit of Rothenberg rage at the end of that game. Phone got spiked.
Haven't you been the one that... Oh, Dak Prescott. Didn't you say he was better than Eli Manning?
When did I say that? I think you're making things up.
You sat here tiptoeing around. Oh, we're so good. Look at my team. 11 wins. All we do is win.
I'm not afraid of the Packers.
You're making...
Fooey. I'm not afraid of the Packers. Look at me roar. And you're fraud.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
You understand, I could keep that from playing the rest of the show if I want to.
Now you're going to swing it?
On 98.7 ESPN. Like we've
been losing control. What a morning. Welcome. DPHRO Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. By the way, today we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we don't lose sight of fact of what he sacrificed and what he did and how his thoughts and memory still rings true today. And I just wanted to bring that up and make mention of it quickly. I know we're a sports show, but that certainly deserves mention here on Monday, January the 17th.
It absolutely is, and it's important. I'm glad that you brought it up. But
of course I wanted to.
What we do on the show is, outside of mocking poor Raymond Santiago for a full hour... Tell me if you feel the same way, though, Dave. You know, watching, getting a chance to actually sit down and watch, because, I mean, Sundays get crazy, right? Like, I mean, we try to watch all these games on a Sunday, so you have, you know, super wild card weekend. You get to sit down and just really focus on, you know, each game. It's amazing watching some of these teams play and really focusing on these teams play and then watching the Jets and Giants play.
It's almost like watching a different sport. I've said this numerous times this year. You watch... Even the Steelers, like, they're professional. The Chiefs are sensational. The Bills and San Francisco, Green Bay, all these teams. And then you watch the Jets and the Giants. You're like, wait, this is the same sport? Like, the Giants have set the sport back for years, and the Jets have been a laughingstock for a long time now. It's a very valid point. I think you could argue that you could mesh the Jets and Giants franchise, put one team out there for the two of them, and still not compete to do anything in the playoffs.
No. You may not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
But, I mean, you said something in the first hour that I thought was interesting, was we got a chance to see Dallas. Now, Dallas is, it's not a talent issue. They have tons of talent. Like, it could be coaching, it's lack of accountability, discipline, whatever you want to call it. Like, that should not be a team that loses the first game of the play. They need to at least win a playoff game. But still, they didn't. They lost. They're out. You watch what Philly did against Tampa. Well, I'm sure we'll revisit is Jalen Hurts the long-term answer at quarterback with how he looked. Now, he's playing injured, but still. And there's some question marks around Jalen Hurts. And you said your division isn't very good.
It's not.
But now, as a Jets fan, watching what I just watched the Buffalo Bills do and realize how far the Jets... How far the Jets are away from being as good as the Buffalo Bills are right now. Because what the Buffalo Bills did to New England was...
That was the performance of the weekend.
It's not even debatable.
No, it's not debatable. By the way, this is now time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Yes, listen, Cincinnati looked good and hung on for dear life. San Francisco played very well until they didn't. Kansas City exploded after Pittsburgh took that lead on the defensive touchdown, but nobody won the weekend more than Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. That was as good a performance as you'll see in any one game.
I'm telling you right now, the whole week. Now, it's different, obviously, in the NFL because you have the whole week of preparation and everything else. But, I mean, this is the day before and we played every other day, but you'd have, you know, the day leading up. You go through in your head, like, I'm going to visualize what's going to happen, and okay, I'm going to make this, and this. And, like, you have a certain way you would like to see the game go. There is no way in their wildest dreams that the Buffalo Bills could have envisioned that game unfolding as perfectly as it unfolded. Like, you could, that's, There's nothing you could have asked for more than what Buffalo did in that game.
First of all, everybody loved New England in that game. Right? I know, RJ, I know you liked Buffalo, but for the most part, it was you're getting 5 points with Bill Belichick, and sure, they have an advantage at quarterback, but beyond that, they probably don't, and the weather plays into the hands. I mean, how many times did you hear leading into this game, the weather plays into the hands of New England, and if it was good weather, I might take Buffalo, but in that weather, that frigidity, I'm going to take New England. It was non-competitive. I mean, Josh Allen is playing at a different level. I'll tell you what, right now, Buffalo, I think, is the best team in football.
It's a scary team.
That's the best team for me in football right now. I think they're going to win the whole thing.
Well, I mean, then they had, like, you know, Josh Allen's career in below freezing temperatures. He's not very good, and all these different reasons why New England would be competitive. I mean, Josh Allen threw more touchdowns than he threw incompletions in that game. But he is a problem. Now, he is seriously, and I think we've said this a couple different times. When you watch him play, when he plays like that, he's a better version because he throws the ball better. Like he's the new Cam Newton is what he is, but he throws the ball better than Cam Newton.
He's better than Cam Newton.
Well, he throws the ball better than Cam Newton. I don't know. I mean, Cam Newton, I think, was more dynamic running the ball. But, I mean, the entire package, and it aggravates me, too, because when me and Han were doing the show together, we had one of his teammates from Wyoming that would call in and tell us, oh, this guy's a great leader. If the Jets don't draft him, they're idiots. If the Jets don't draft him, they're idiots. And now look what this kid has turned himself into.
He's sensational. He runs the ball. His arm is dynamic. Dawson Knox, they got Sanders. Their running game is starting to come along a little bit. That's a very, very scary team. It's a good football team.
Well, that's the biggest thing for them. Like, end of the season, they started actually like, okay, we need to find a way to run the football. And, you know, they started to run the football. And Singletary, I mean, he had two touchdowns against the Patriots. But, I mean, that makes this team, I mean, with Allen's ability to run the football, the way he throws it, I mean, you mentioned Knox. That ball, he was throwing that ball away, and all of a sudden Knox rises up out of nowhere and catches the touchdown.
So I'm listening to the game on radio. I have to get Ben from baseball workouts. I'm listening to the game on radio. They're like, and he just throws it away, and that's it. And then he's like, no, touchdown!
Dude, he rose up. He was throwing the ball away. Like, he created a bunch of time, and then I think it was like 9 seconds, and he throws it, and it looks like he's throwing it away, which I think he was actually trying to throw it away, and then Knox just out of nowhere rises up and catches it.
Phenomenal.
And then that Micah Hyde interception was probably
where did he come out from?
Dude, what a phenomenal interception that was.
That was just great. Do you know? I mean, I know you know it. They scored a touchdown on every possession until they took a knee.
Oh yeah. Dave, there was the equivalent of pitching a perfect game is what they did.
They really did. They won the weekend, right?
Oh yeah. Because I think a lot of people feel like you'll hear a lot of people say what you just said. Was that the takeaway from this weekend is that Buffalo looks like the team that could end up in the Super Bowl from the AFC. That's what everyone would be saying today.
I don't know how you couldn't. They're what? They're getting 2.5 against Kansas City? So you're saying on a neutral field, that's a pick'em game, maybe even a little bit pro-Buffalo?
Yeah.
They hammered them. Remember, they played early in the season. They hammered Kansas City. They're built to beat Kansas City. They're running the ball right now well. They're playing their best football. They just destroyed New England twice.
Well, think what they did to New England. I mean, outside of that game where, I mean, Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times and it was, you know, the wind and cold and everything else. I mean, the last 2 times the Bills have played the Patriots, I mean, double-digit wins. They whacked them. I mean, in Week 16, they beat them 33-21.
They crushed them, and it wasn't even that close.
When Josh Allen, I mean, when he throws the ball away, he throws the ball, and he's in his ability to run. I mean, that's tough to stop.
And their defense is good, and they're well coached. And now they're running the ball? Look out.
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this, though. So my other takeaway from watching that game was, now we'll see who ends up being hired as the Giants' new GM. But skill set-wise, now I'm not saying talent-wise. I'm just saying skill set, what the quarterback can do. When you see what Brian Daboll has done with Josh Allen, if you are – because it feels like you're going to bring back Daniel Jones.
Not so sure about that, but possibly.
Well, okay, but I mean, you saw what Brian Daboll. There were questions about his accuracy and everything else. And everyone's like, oh, no, yeah, this guy's not going to work because if you can't throw the ball accurate in college, you're not going to figure it out at the next level. And listen, give the kid credit. Somehow he's figured it out.
It's working now, yep.
Okay, so I mean, Brian Daboll's an option as your head coach. I mean, that watching Josh Allen and what he just did.
Well, you can go all in on Buffalo. You can go Sheen and Al and Daboll and away you go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I mean, if there is a hope that we can try to, I mean, I'm sure he's a sixth overall pick. You'd like to think that best case scenario would be that Daniel Jones somehow we can figure it out with him.
Maybe you can, but I think you have to allow the new brass to make that decision, right? If you bring in, like you're saying right now, you bring in Sheen, you bring in Daboll, and you say, guys, get to work. And they say, you know what, we can make this work with Daniel Jones, or in fact, we can't. I think you have to completely leave it up to them. Let them make that decision.
Yeah, you're right. 100% right. Like, whoever you hire, they're in charge. Like, they make those decisions. All I'm saying, though, is that we're not in love with what's in the draft. It's going to cost you however much. It sounds like Russell Wilson's actually going to be back with Seattle. Who knows? But still, I mean, there's also the report that Deshaun Watson would like to be a Giant with Brian Flores as the head coach, which I don't think.
I don't see the Giants bringing in Deshaun Watson.
But even if they did, that's, again, you're trading how much? I mean, it was 3 firsts and 2 seconds that Miami was going to give them.
The Giants can't do that.
Okay, so.
You can't do that.
All right, so it feels like the best option right now financially, even if you bring someone in to compete for the job, is that Daniel Jones will be back next season. And I'm not saying that you're going to have to keep him past next season. Like, that's not going to be something that has to happen. But if there's anyone that can maybe unlock what Daniel Jones is or get him back to what he was, get him closer to what he was his rookie season, after watching what Brian Daboll's done with Josh
100%.
Allen.
100%. Listen, if you tell me that you go 5-7 offensive line and then you have some of your skill position players healthy next year, do I think you would get a much better, and the coaching staff and they build around him is better? Do I think you can get a much better version of Daniel Jones? Not even a question. 100% absolutely.
Because I would think, I mean, I would think with how much you have invested in Daniel Jones, that would be the best outcome.
And let's be fair. There were times this year when we watched him, when we said to ourselves, he's getting better.
Yeah, we just didn't know whether or not the person that was making the decisions, or Jason Garrett or, you know, Freddie Kitchens, was good enough or capable of putting him in the right spots to have success. And you do not question that. After seeing what Josh Allen turned himself into, I don't question that with
And Brian Daboll's been there every single step of the way. Now, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DPH or Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. See, now what's going to happen is you're going to be like, you have so many reads. This is RJ's fault. No, I'll tell you why. Because there's a Zach Brown Band tease to read. What time do you think that tease was supposed to be read? 5:55.
That was probably
5:55.
Yeah.
What time did I receive the reads?
6:07.
6:01. So Ooh. How am I supposed to go back in time, unless I got Doc Brown here, that I can go back and do that read at 5:55, RJ?
Well, not with that kind of attitude, you can't do it.
No, so. I really can't. Even with the flux capacitor.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to hear this from Bridget Cummings that I received last night?
Well, I'm impressed you have your website. Yeah, let's hear it.
I may have to wake up even though I have off tomorrow. I can't tell you how many of those I heard, by the way, or were tweeted to me. I'm going to set my alarm for 4:50 just to hear how you guys describe the Cowboys and Niners game.
You've got mail.
All right. She goes on to say, I love RJ, and I rooted really hard for the 49ers, but I'm actually surprisingly sad for Santiago. And then in parentheses, even though he's always cranky, mean to you, and hung up on me once,
booey, he must booey. Be...
what?
Booey, booey.
Booey, booey, booey.
Booey, booey.
She goes on to say, he must be so disappointed this morning. Try not to be too mean to him. And I've been very good. My best behavior. I haven't been mean at all.
Santiago's like the Cowboys. It's a love-hate relationship. Either you love Santiago or you kind of hate him a little bit.
Why are you always cranky, Ray?
I don't sleep.
It's an excellent point.
What do you mean? Why always cranky? I don't sleep. I got to deal with you taking your little shots every day, like win or lose. So I mean, I think I'm within my rights here.
Do you think I'd be as bad if you didn't incite me all the time like you do?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Don't even have to think about it.
Really?
Don't even have to think about
it. Santiago. Yeah, I mean, he's a Cowboy fan. You hate the Cowboys. I mean, this is... You wouldn't root for your kid if he was the quarterback of the Cowboys. I think we've established that you despise the Cowboys.
I got to tell you, they might want to sign him the way they have a quarterback play in the postseason. My goodness, that was some performance yesterday from Dak.
This isn't going to stop all week, Santiago. You know that, right?
Well, maybe they can make Daniel Jones available. Maybe we can upgrade there. I don't know.
I got to be honest. I don't know that Jones is better than Prescott, though. I think now I think you're stretching this a little far.
You think?
Way to be the bigger guy, Dave.
That's right. I told you. I'm always honest. Always going to give you an honest assessment. All right. Speaking of honesty, and we get the Knicks back in action against the Hornets today at 12:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. The Knicks are scalding hot. They're above 500. That was a big win against Atlanta. I did not think they were going to get that win. RJ Barrett, the litmus test again. He turns it on. Randall plays well. No Cam Reddish, but the Knicks go down to Atlanta and win that game, and they're right back at it today at 1 o'clock at the Garden.
Ye of little faith, David. Didn't expect them to. They're rolling.
I did not. Listen, it's honesty first. I did not expect the Knicks to win that game. You expected them to win that game?
I expect them. I mean, listen, Atlanta has not been the team we expected them to be. They have been. And the Knicks playing good basketball. RJ Barrett's playing really good basketball. I mean, we've talked about that. So, yeah, I mean, would I have been disappointed if they went into Atlanta and lost a close game? No, I wouldn't have been disappointed. But, I mean, I had every hope that they were gonna play well and have a chance to win it. That's
what they did. Different. I had the hope that they were going to play well, but going into that game, I didn't expect them to win that game. That's a game that Atlanta has to have circled and say, we need to win this game. We're falling apart. The Knicks now swept them in the regular season. Atlanta's now 17-25. They're way on the outside looking in of a postseason spot. They needed to win that game, and they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't. Because, again, I mean, you mentioned R.J. Barrett. He had another good game. I mean, he's on this 9-game stretch now where he's averaging, 24 points a game. I thought Randall was good, 13 points in the second quarter. I love the fact that he gave their crowd the thumbs down. I thought that was a nice little touch. Might as well embrace it. If you're going to do it, embrace it.
Yeah, make that your
Fournier thing. Fournier made some big shots. I mean, this is back-to-back games now where all five starters are in double digits. So they're starting to find their stride here a little bit. They're starting to figure it out. Defense is better when they need to be. Getting big stops when they need to get big stops. Mitchell Robinson, another nice night. I mean, they had 11 offensive rebounds yesterday.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is all good stuff, man. starting to be the team that we expected them to be a little bit.
Which is nice. So now you look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, and that little play-in tournament, Charlotte 23-20, so you have another litmus test today against them. Toronto 21-19. Washington and the Knicks tied at 22-21. So
now you going to swing it?
I don't know why that dropped there, but here's the issue, though. To get into the top six seems daunting at the moment, because six is Cleveland at 26-18, and you are not all that close to that at the moment. But that being said, go out there, win games, continue to make strides, continue to move up the standings, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, that's all you can do. I mean, that's it. I mean, we all realize that they're not at the level of the best teams in the East.
No, they're not at Chicago. They're not at Miami. They're not at Milwaukee. They're not at Philadelphia. They're just those teams are head and shoulders above the Knicks.
Okay, yeah, which is fine. I didn't expect this Knicks team to be at that level, but we expected a team that could compete for a legitimate playoff spot, not be in the play-in tournament. And that's the hope now, is they find a way into that sixth seed and they play a competitive first-round playoff series.
Some news from Brooklyn this weekend. Kevin Durant, knee injury. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. And I think this was their real concern. And part of the reason they brought back Kyrie Irving was that they recognized they're asking Kevin Durant to do too much, and now he's going to be shut down for a while.
Yeah, but this is not a minutes thing. I mean, it's a freak.
No, it's not.
It's a freak injury.
Sure, but I think that they recognize, like, you know what, we're asking him to do too much.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of stress on him because, I mean, again, this is a team that's expected to be in the NBA Finals. But it's another I don't know what it is. I don't. I don't know if it's just, you know, bad sports karma or whatever it is. But, I mean, they have the hardest time getting all three guys on the floor at the same time. It's always something.
They can never play together.
It's always something.
It's always something. But, again, listen, will you miss him? Will it maybe affect you going 2-3 or 3-4 or 4-5 or whatever? Maybe so. But I say this every single time we talk about the Nets. Ultimately, as long as he's healthy for the postseason, it doesn't matter. Because they're going to be judged on what they do in the playoffs. And you say they got to get to the finals? No. They have to win the whole thing. They get to the finals and they lose in 7 and double overtime. This has still been a failed season for Brooklyn.
But now you'll fall back on the idea that, you know, Kyrie Irving's going to be available for road games, right? I mean, there were people that said once Kyrie came back, they made a decision that we'll bring Kyrie back for road games, is that, you know, now do the Nets consider, you know, losing some games so they have a lower seed so they can play, you know, so they don't have home court advantage? Well, now you may get your wish. That may take care of itself with no KD for 4 to 6 weeks.
Certainly might. So Chicago 27-14, Brooklyn 27-15, Miami 27-16, and Milwaukee 27-18.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
JoJo and Nutley. Good morning, JoJo. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave, Henrik. But most importantly, good morning, Santiago.
Here we go.
Dave, I told you on Saturday when I called up, I'm going to watch the game, looking for a good game, but I'm going to also keep in mind of the tweets of Mr. Santiago. Yep. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you want to do a Price is Right, but do you know how many tweets he did? Because we were going to do, me and the people I was with, we were going to say, oh, let's do a drink for every tweet. But I would have had
you could. Yeah, you couldn't. You'd be 6 feet under now if you did a drink for every tweet he had.
Yeah,
you couldn't possibly do that. All right, so let me ask you this now. From what time to what time is the over-under for tweets from Santiago?
Start of game. Like when they
start of game until completion of kickoff, until when?
To when the game ended. I'm going to say right when they went over to the KC game.
All right. You have the number.
I have it in my head right now.
Okay. Rick, you want to go first? You want me to go?
No, you go first.
I'm going to say 31.
Wow. You go 31. I'm going to say, I'll go a little under that. I'm going to say there were 24 tweets.
All right. RJ?
And this is counting retweets.
Oh, he's screening the contest, so he can't play. Do retweets count?
Yeah.
Oh, it's more than that.
All right.
It's more than that.
Give us the answer now, JoJo.
56.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe that somebody's actually taking the time to go down my timeline and count them. Like, seriously, you got nothing better to do?
Listen, Ray, JoJo, I'm sorry.
Take it as a compliment, Raymond.
I mean, that's creepy.
No,
that's creepy.
Don't you see what we've done for you? We have made you into a celebrity.
I don't want your celebrity.
We have made you into someone that people deeply care about.
I don't think
so. That you're now like a staple of the show. You go away, the show falls apart.
I don't think people in JoJo Nutley care about me.
They're monitoring your tweeting during the game. They obviously care. 56 tweets.
It's creepy and it's sad.
It's sad that you're tweeting 56 times during the game.
Well, listen, I'm watching the game. I'm generally watching it alone, so. Fooey, fooey.
What does that mean, you're generally watching it alone?
Listen,
you're watching it alone or you're not.
No, I'm talking about usually I'm watching games alone, so. Because the people that I generally would watch football with, they're not around.
56 tweets.
I almost don't feel comfortable.
I think that feels low, actually, 56.
But this
I would have gone higher.
This is only from kickoff to the end of the game.
Right. That doesn't mean anything like 2:30, 9:30.
This is a post-mortem.
Okay, but you would say that from kickoff to end of the game is probably when it's the highest volume, right?
Well, obviously. Okay, 56.
So.
That's heavy.
56. I mean, dear God.
It feels low, honestly. That's probably not my average.
56. That's a lot of tweets. And I'm looking right now.
And you count, and he's counting retweets. Again, that's creepy.
How about the end of the game? Frauds. Always frauds.
Yep.
As embarrassing as a one touchdown loss can be.
Also
they
agree.
Deserve it. They deserve all of it.
He goes through all the stages.
All the stages of grief. The play calling had been among many, many dumb things this team has done today.
So, Santiago, let me ask you a question. What happens with your coach?
Who cares?
Well, no,
in all
no,
honesty,
seriously,
who cares?
He's dead.
No, he's dead. Because in all seriousness, okay, let's say that they do decide that he's the wrong coach for them and they fire him. What direction are you going? You going to promote Kellen Moore? You going to promote Dan Quinn? What difference would it make?
Well, but that would be the reason that you do it.
After yesterday, I'm not sure that I want Kellen Moore running the team. I think it would be Jason Garrett 2.0. And honestly, he seems like he has less authority than Jason Garrett did. So wow. I'm not behind that at all.
This is one of my favorite tweets. I'm just a dummy for allowing myself to think this team was any different than the mentally soft clowns of the last two decades.
See, maybe that's part of it, though. Maybe this team is, maybe they're too coddled.
I would agree with that.
But where do you think that stems from?
Where do you think that stems from?
I think it stems from the owner.
Okay, so why are you asking the question?
Well, because I think it's an important determination. If it stems from the owner, that's not changing.
Because look at the roster. You would agree that they put together a pretty good roster for all the flack that he gets as the GM, even though he's not the one making the moves, but that's all Will McClay. But they put together a pretty good roster year in, year out, you would say, right?
I think they're very talented.
I mean, the coaching staff has guys that you would think know what they're doing. Guys who've been to Super Bowls.
Although I'll say this. Mike McCarthy looks so unimpressive and so overwhelmed and makes such dumb decisions. No?
Well, oh, yeah.
Sure. Listen.
No,
his clock
he's right.
Is terrible. Well, how many decisions is Mike McCarthy making in all
It's
honesty?
His team.
No, I get it's his team, but how many decisions?
The clock management, which was not really an issue, but the clock management was an issue all season, not counting yesterday, of course. But and again, like the lack of accountability for the penalties, like he's still going to the podium and blaming officiating is why they lost. Yeah, the officiating was terrible, but that's not why they lost.
You had 14 penalties.
But yeah, I mean, but they led the league in penalties, as you've repeatedly pointed out. I think 14 penalties was a playoff record. Was that right?
I mean, defensive holdings on run plays.
I'm not so mad at the Gregory one because I almost feel like Gregory legitimately thought he was tackling the ball carrier for some reason. I honestly think that. So I'm not like really killing him for that one. But again, what can you do? But like if the team is going to be undisciplined, I mean that's a reflection on head coaching, is it not?
By the way, I'm looking through your timeline. I mean, you're blaming the officials all game long.
The officiating was terrible from the start.
All game
from
long.
From the start.
All
do you not
long.
Agree? Do you not agree? Like the game starts with a neutral zone infraction when the left tackle clearly is shifting his ankle, and it happened three times. That's bad officiating?
Here we go. Jump on board. It's
answer
the Santiago
question.
Excuse
answer
train leaving
the, question.
The station.
Answer the question. Do you not think that's bad officiating?
I think officiating is continuously bad. I think you guys are maybe the most undisciplined team I've seen.
I think both things can be true.
Were they not calling penalties on the Niners?
They were calling penalties, but way fewer. And again, when the left tackle is clearly false starting the entire game, and the guy who's reacting to the move gets called for offsides, that's a little infuriating.
Here we go. Never a holding call. Shake my head. I mean, it's complaining. Is all
could you
it
imagine,
is.
Could you imagine what the sports talk radio is in Dallas today?
It must be great.
Or how bad? What if the Niners had blown that game with what happened late?
They tried their best, by the way.
No, they tried their best. I mean, thank God that pass to Kittle hit the ground first, because I was ready to pull a Santiago and start breaking stuff. I was so mad.
I love that he broke his phone. You broke your phone, Raymond.
And you're taking glee in it. That's the thing.
Well, you did it to yourself. Let's take one more quick one, then we'll go around the league.
Iron Staten Island. Would you please?
You know why? Because you always pretend you're better than me, but you're just like me.
Again, this is not... No. I am better than you, because this is not normal behavior for me. Again, that's 3 hours of frustration plus... Again, a lot of things have gone on over the past 6 months for me. So I think it all just kind of came to an end, to a head at the end of that game. But do not compare me to you. I do not make normal habits about breaking things.
Yep, I've never broken a phone. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Good morning. It sounds like a lot of friction going on over there.
We're going to start a fire the way there's friction going on here.
I see that. It's going to be rough to get to 8 o'clock. But I do think McCarthy has a real good chance of getting let go today. But, you know, I'm disappointed in the playoff games. I mean, and that shows you what happens when you add additional games and you add an additional team. But you know what?
Ira, hold on one second. It's not so much that you added an additional team. It's how it played itself out. I mean, had that game tied, I mean, you're talking about having, you know...
You'd have the Chargers and
the
Herbert.
The Chargers in the playoffs as opposed to the Steelers.
Well, that's true. Okay, I'll take that back. But looking at it, you know, the San Francisco-Dallas game, you know, listen, Cowboys, you know, clearly, they put themselves in the hole. I never saw anybody, you know, so many penalties, ridiculous. But what the Bills did to the Pats, let me tell you something, I got to give them a lot of credit. And you look at Josh Allen... I mean, the performance he put on was just one of the best performances I've seen from a quarterback in a long time. And you know what? I'm not comparing him to Marino, but you can make the same case that the Jets passed on Marino and a lot of other teams did. Okay? Look how many teams passed on Josh Allen. And this guy may turn out to be the best quarterback for the next 10 years. The guy was just amazing. And what he did to Belichick's defense, as much as I was rooting for the Pats, at the end of the day, just for Belichick alone, he deserved what he got.
Wow. See, Ira, here's the thing, though. And I mean, we're saying this on our show, that the guy we would draft was Josh Allen. I don't know if Josh Allen becomes the player he is now if the Jets drafted him. I don't.
Probably not. I think you're 100% right. But still, going in, you know, that draft class coming out, Josh Allen definitely had the best raw skills out of all those quarterbacks. He got lucky enough to get drafted by the right team to develop him. And
it was
to
a
let
perfect
him grow
storm.
Into what he became.
You're right, and thanks for the call, Ira. It was the exact perfect storm, right? He's a huge kid. He's got a cannon for an arm. I mean, he is a perfect fit to play in Buffalo, and they love him. And he is doing everything within his power to try to lead them to a Super Bowl. And you know what? I think he just might this year. All right, let's do it, Santi. We'll take the pressure off of you, and we'll go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
And around the league brought to you by Jack Pocket. Rick, Jack Pocket.
Not right, Jack Pocket.
Very,
Not Jack
very Pocket. Clearly.
I still don't understand the name. I don't.
What's the name? Jack Pocket.
Yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any, like, just because, your phone's in your pocket?
I don't. I didn't
Keep
name it, but that's what
pocket.
It is. Last week you said I pronounced it incorrectly. This week I'm enunciating much more clearly. Jack Pocket. All right, let's go through these games chronologically. 4:30 on Saturday. Bengals look great. Jamar Chase, phenomenal. Joe Burrow, the whole thing. And it took every ounce to hang on and beat the Raiders in what turned out to be a very closely contested battle.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's who, I mean, that's who Vegas has been. You know, I mean, they were playing playoff games to get themselves into the playoffs. They fight their butts off. But I'll tell you what, even listening to Joe Burrow after the game, I don't know, man. There's something about this kid. Of all the young quarterbacks, just, I don't know, his personality.
Awesome.
I love the kid. I do.
I told you that last year when they were winning just a couple of games. I said, he is the future. And he is the future. Zach Taylor, head coach of the Bengals, after the game, what does that playoff win mean for this franchise?
I think this city can finally exhale and just enjoy this team for what it is and take that pressure off those last 31 years. And at the same time, there's just such an incredible history here at Cincinnati. There's Super Bowl appearances, there's conference championships, and really these last even two decades, there's been so many tremendous players, teams, and coaches that have come through here that I hope that they feel like they're a part of this win today and they can enjoy this because they've really allowed the foundation for us to do this. And, you know, I think that's today was significant for a lot of people.
You know what you notice in a lot of these games? You know what you notice in a lot of these games, though, Dave? And Belichick says it all the time. Most games are lost, not won. And then you are, like, some of the mistakes that Vegas was making. I mean, they had three false starts in the first quarter. You had Peyton Barber, for some reason, decided that he was going to grab the kickoff before he went out of bounds.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It's just it's just such a stupid.
I mean, let me grab the ball and then stomp my foot on the sideline.
Well, yeah, I mean, the rule is you have to be, if you're out of bounds.
Yeah, but
how could you not understand
that?
In that moment, too. So you go from a kickoff out of bounds to now you have
the
ball.
At the 40, and now you're at the 3. Yeah, just horrendous. But did you see what Zach Taylor did? He went around to bars in Cincinnati and gave out game balls to the fans.
That's awesome.
How cool is that?
That's unbelievable. But, I mean, Joe Burrow has changed. Like, a personality like Joe Burrow is exactly what that franchise
needed. If you were
a
free agent in the NFL and Cincinnati came calling, you would now consider going there.
Well, yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, absolutely.
I mean, their defense played well, studs.
Yeah, well, yeah. Their defense played well, but I mean, as far as if I'm an offensive player with the amount of talent on that side of the ball, with that quarterback.
Oh, I mean, you got Mixon, you got Boyd, you got Higgins, Jamar Chase is at a different level completely, and Burrow makes the whole thing go. So phenomenal win. We talked about Buffalo, but that was as good a performance as you can see. I mean, from start to finish, Josh Allen and the running game, the fan base, everything. That really was football perfection on Saturday night against a team I'm sure they loved pounding in New England.
See, it looked like Buffalo had some on their mind. Like, it looked like that meant extra. That game had extra meaning to Buffalo. I didn't think the Patriots, I mean, their defense looked slow. I don't know if it was the cold weather or whatever. But, I mean, for Josh Allen to go against them, I don't care who Bill Belichick has on the defensive side of the ball, for Josh Allen to throw more touchdowns than he did incompletions against Bill Belichick is pretty impressive.
What did he throw, five touchdowns and?
Five touchdowns at four incompletions.
That really is just absolutely unbelievable. So, then we go yesterday, 1 o'clock, and I thought Jalen Hurts looked completely overwhelmed in this game. And it looked to me like they could play 10 times and Tampa might win every single one of those times. That was really a non-competitive football game.
Well, I mean, Tampa's defense is starting to get healthy. I think the only reason that people thought that would be a close game was because of the weather, right? That was the only reason why you gave the Eagles any chance.
And the weather was fine.
Well, yeah, exactly right. That was because the weather turned out being fine.
All I hear about the weather. Apparently, the spread went from 8.5 down to 7. I turned the game on. It's like sunny and 77
yes.
in Tampa.
Yeah, I had my wife check in the morning, and the rain was going to stop early in the morning. They had the tarp on, so the field was fine. It was sunny. Brady's an assassin, and I mean they stopped the run. That's what you've expected to see from Tampa's defense all season long. But with the injuries and everything else, they haven't been able to do it. So that's going to be a good. This upcoming weekend is going to be some.
This is the best weekend of the season, right? This weekend, I guess, that just passed and is passing is great because you get six games and it's littered with games. You get two Saturday, three, and then one. This coming weekend, to me, is the best weekend of football this season.
Well, and the Bucs are going to get Fournette back, too. I mean,
they're going to get Fournette back. They're going to take on Arizona or the Rams, which should be a very good game. I mean, the Niners and Packers, you could argue, are the two best teams in the NFC. I mean, AFC, you got two great matchups. They're all intriguing. This is going to be a great weekend of football. 4:30 yesterday, Cowboys, they lose. We've discussed it. We didn't discuss this, though. And this, to me, for a guy that, and he's a very likable guy, is a very bad look. Here is Dak after the game asked about trash being thrown on the field.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were gaming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Credit to them then.
Rick.
Yeah, that's not great.
That is a terrible thing. So he goes on this whole diatribe of these guys' work and the effort and everything and what the last thing you can possibly do, you throw garbage at them. And then he finds out it's the referees. Okay, great. Throw trash at the referees. That is a bad soundbite for Dak Prescott.
No, for him. Yeah, I mean, it's a guy who's done. I mean, has done nothing wrong. That's part of why I like Dak, is for how he handles himself, the kind of leader he is. So yeah, that's frustration.
Listen, heat of the moment. I'll even cut him some slack, but you can't do that. You know what Santiago said immediately upon hearing that?
He agrees.
No, he said he blamed the officials. He can't believe the officials would put Dak in that kind of position.
But I mean, he's frustrated at himself. Like, Dak knows.
Hey, thank you.
Dak knows in that moment. He's going to get down, and they got to get at least one more playoff. Get the ball spiked, and then get a playoff.
He lost it. He lost it for them. And then lastly, last night, I mean, just, my God, a barrage of offensive explosion. What did Patrick Mahomes have 5 touchdown passes, and Travis Kelce had 1?
Yeah.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
It's a lot of touchdowns. That was not the start I wanted, but they figured it out.
We won. We're 9-1 in our last 10.
The hell we're doing.
This looks like that's it for Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's again. And they were trying to play the whole, you know, no one gives us a chance, and we all realize that, you know, the most dangerous teams, the most dangerous people are, you know, people that have nothing to lose. So they were trying to play that whole deal. But the only way they were going to have any chance in that game was that if their defense, if T.J. Watt, if those guys dominated.
And it looked like you might have that. For like, yeah, 20 minutes, you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be. And then it was like, no, that's it. This is over.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. We'll be right back.